Good evening. It's great to see you here on this evening. It seems like it just keeps getting darker and darker, and with that I want to welcome everybody who is also listening in online. We are so glad that they are able to join us as well. This evening we begin our midweek Advent series. The series title is His Name Shall Be, and it comes from our Isaiah 9 passage, which is printed at the bottom of the front cover of the bulletin, which reads, "For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And today we take that first name, Wonderful Counselor, and see why Jesus is given that name and what that means for us today. We begin with our opening hymn number 412. Let us pray. Almighty God, your mercies are new every morning, and you graciously provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may acknowledge your goodness, give thanks for your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience all our days. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant, and song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those whose hope is in steadfast love. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion, and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for a hymn of the day. Well, I think it's safe to say that not all counselors are created equal. And certainly not all people who offer advice are particularly qualified to do so. It's not as simple as just doing whatever they tell you to do. You can't just take the counsel of friends and family members. You can't just take the stranger's advice from off the street and follow it as if it were gospel truth. Because again, not all counselors are created equal. In fact, in the beginning, this world was thrown into chaos by such a counselor. If you think back to Adam and Eve, we see this world ruined by the counsel of a serpent. We see Eve receiving counsel into the ways of darkness, the serpent spewing lies and doubt. Has God said, "You shall not eat of the tree," and "You shall not surely die," he says. And with such a false promise which leads to death, he declared, "You shall become like God." The counsel of the wicked has brought death into the world since the beginning. And hearkening to the serpent's lies and mischief has since brought a never-ending train of woes. There's been an outpouring of trials, pain, tears, death, and destruction upon mankind. For here we still live in the aftermath of such foolish counselors. For still today, in like manner as Eve, we ourselves find counsel by similarly evil and wicked persons and places, whether we look within or we look without. Whether we look to the world or to our own selves, we are prone to both receive and to accept poor counsel. If you look within, the heart itself continues to offer up its own foolish counsel. 24/7, it's offering up its unsolicited advice, constantly speaking to your mind with the guidance to always desire more, more enjoyment, more fun, more experiences and pleasure. The stomach, likewise, with its own counsel, urging you to satisfy its longings. The lustful eyes with its passionate desire saying, "Do this and look there." The mind always counseling yourself saying, "You need more and more security. Never shall you obtain enough. You need more freedom. You need more rest. You need more purpose in life." The heart and mind and our whole selves yearn always for more, counseling us to live for the flesh. Again, whether you look into the world or to yourself, you are counseled always to accumulate more, to satisfy desires, and to live for this life. And as such, hearkening to evil and wicked counsels have brought nothing but death, pain, and the consequences of sin upon us. And even when our intentions have been good, many times we are still but left in the dark in need for guidance. We genuinely wonder what's the best path to take and what decisions to make. We seek counsel for how to move forward in jobs, in education, in relationships. We seek paths forward for how to practically serve the Lord in gladness and in faithfulness. But even with a plethora of good intentions, we are not immune from receiving and accepting poor counsel. For since the fall, we haven't once walked in perfect harmony with God. We don't pray as we ought. We don't say, "Not my will, but yours be done." We don't heed to the Spirit's convictions and longings. And certainly it's true of us, as Isaiah once said of our fallen race, saying, "We are those sitting in darkness." For in the world there is a darkness of counsel and a darkness of understanding. But dear friends, as the world has been destroyed by wicked and foolish counsel, so is it fitting to God that he would restore it again by such. Foolish worldly counsel has brought death, destruction, and darkness, but through the counsel of another, God wills to bring life, restoration, and light. Even still, though, this shall prove a far difficult task. It's easy to counsel into mischief and error. It's easy to counsel into the ways of foolishness. But how difficult it is to counsel in wisdom and in understanding. To cast down is easy, but to build up is difficult. To cause confusion and to throw the world into chaos was an easy thing. With a simple lie and with a tempted look upon the fruit, it became so. but to restore order and to dismantle confusion, to sweep away the evils from the face of the earth. This is a most difficult work for a counselor, and no ordinary counselor shall do. And yet, dear friends, such a counselor we have. For as we just heard, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. I know that in English we've kind of watered down the meaning of that word, wonderful. We say that our dinner was wonderful, our kids and grandkids are wonderful, my pastor is wonderful. But back in Isaiah's day, it had a stronger, if not entirely different, meaning. It would have been blasphemy to have said such a thing those many years ago. For it's God and God alone who was called wonderful, and it's Jesus alone who is called the Wonderful Counselor. He is the Marvelous Counselor. He is the Miraculous Counselor. He is the Separated, Distinguished, and Holy Counselor. He is the Noble One, distinguished from all of creation. Dear friends, there is a lack of words and a deficiency in our human imagination to fully grasp the wonder of this Counselor. Even his name fails to capture his glory. For in being the Wonderful Counselor, as his name suggests, it means that Jesus is a counselor of truth. His ways are certain and his decrees are unwavering. He's a wonderful counselor in wisdom. There's no shadow of uncertainty. You could probably ask a dozen of your friends for advice on a certain situation you're in, and you will probably get a dozen different responses. One will say, do this. They'll say, don't do that. Do this thing instead. Another will say, don't do that. Do such and such a thing. It's like the blind leading the blind down here, and foolishness abounds. But blessed is the one who finds counsel in the Lord. And how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the word of the Lord. And how beautiful is Christ, whose counsel is wonderful, whose counsel is wisdom and truth, who counsels in the way of godliness and perfection and declares the Father's will from beginning to end. And he is worthy of his name, for again, he is a counselor in heartfelt devotion. He counsels with the warmth of love. You know, there's many whose you can turn to advice and direction, those you can turn to seek for help. There's many who can help you, but only as through professional interests. You may find counsel in a lawyer or in a tax preparer, and it may be a good counsel, and yet at the same time, it feels like you're just getting counseled by a clump of rocks. But Jesus here is a lovingly good counselor, longing for your interests, caring deeply for you as a child. He is a wonder in his devotion for you. But dear friends, see where all of this comes to a head for you. See where all these things become personal to you today. For what makes Jesus such a wonderful counselor is that he is an advocate for you, and his counsel is an eternal reality. You know, Scripture sometimes speaks of and sometimes hints at a divine counsel that took place in eternity past. It speaks of a council in which the inner Trinitarian Godhead deliberated together, all three persons of the Trinity. And in all wisdom, and in all love and excellence and truth, and wonder and majesty and power, they three come together. They deliberate in perfection, ordering all things from beginning to end. Everything in heaven and on earth, from creation to the end of eternity, has all been established and predetermined by the sovereign, loving, and infinitely wise God, and established in his eternally present counsel. And though we first hear it in the divine declaration wherein he says, "Let us make man in our image," we yet still see glimpses of this Trinitarian counsel elsewhere. For we are told that we have a wonderful counselor, who in eternity past, and since before the foundations of the world, he counseled along with the Father and Holy Spirit, and together they predestined a people to be conformed to the image of his Son. In divine counsel, God has predestined a people to be brought into his holy family, and today, dear friends, he calls you. We have a wonderful counselor who from the beginning has predetermined a means by which you would be saved. In love and wisdom, and in counsel and might, he has established a way in which he can be both just and the justifier. In wonder and perfection, they pre-established a place where in God's desire to be gracious and where his wrath upon human sin would meet. Jesus, the wonderful counselor present in the deliberation, together with the other two, deciding where justice and life can come together for the benefit of his people. Where the Father's love and righteous anger can find equal satisfaction and equal fulfillment, the place wherein God can truly be just and the justifier. And where the two meet is in this wonderful counselor himself, who we see on Mount Calvary making satisfaction for human sin and satisfaction of the Father's wrath. The wonderful counselor himself predetermined from the beginning of time to willingly give his life for your benefit. And there he pays the penalty of your sin. The wonderful counselor himself who from the beginning advocated for you. And surely this is one worthy of his name. For he is altogether wonderful, altogether loving, and altogether wise, truthful, and gracious. And so, dear friends, may we continue to seek after the counsel of this mighty one, who knows us, who loves us still, and who has made known to us the Father's goodwill for us. For he deliberated along with the Father for your good pleasure, and he continues to speak and guide today in his word. The wonderful counselor is not gone forever, but he is ruling still upon the heavenly throne in his kingdom, which has no end. So may you seek his guidance, and may the people sitting in darkness see the great light. Amen. Would you please stand for the singing of the New Testament canticle? Christ has been raised from the dead. Let us pray. Almighty God and everlasting Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for sending us your dear Son, Jesus Christ, the wonderful counselor. And we thank you for the eternal love that you have so graciously poured out upon us. Give us assurance, Lord, that we belong to you. For you have promised that all who look to you, you will in no way cast out. And also you have promised that a smoldering wick you will not quench, but rather you accept all who come to you. And so, Lord, we ask that by your Holy Spirit, we would be so led to come before you with repentance and with joy, with assurance and with thanksgiving. Teach us in your truth that we may come to a greater understanding of who you are and what you have done for us. We thank you that you have loved us since before the foundations of the world, and you love us still and lead us to love you with our entire heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we also ask that you would lead us to likewise love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of love, we thank you for all that you give and provide for us. We thank you for our family and friends, for our home, our clothing, our food and drink, and all that we have to support this body and life. We ask, Lord, that we would be led to be content in all our situations and content in what you have given us. Lead us to find you to be more than enough, as you are infinitely good and gracious. Lead us to find peace in your promises and acceptance in all that you have and all that you see is fitting for us. And Lord, we ask that you would not withhold any good thing from us, but rather that you would work in our lives and in our situations to bring about our good and the good of our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless the season of Advent as we are reminded to look forward to your coming. May this be a season of spiritual growth as we trust more and more in you and in your will. And Lord, in our belief, we ask that you would help our unbelief. Give us the faith and spiritual eyes to see that you truly are sovereign and that you are working all things together for good. Also, during this Advent season, we pray that we may enjoy the blessings that you have given us through friends and family. Grow us closer together and closer to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, we pray for all who are hurting and on our hearts and minds this evening. Be with your people, calling them to rest in you and to find your peace, which surpasses all understanding. Those who are hurting physically, emotionally, and spiritually, we ask for your healing hand. Look after them and bring them to full health, that they may further glorify you and give thanks for your great goodness in this life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through the wonderful Counselor, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We pray together Luther's evening prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn number 352.